We shall now turn to Daniel chapter 7. We are going to read from Daniel 7 verses 1 to 18. In unison, all of us reading, with certain verses excepted. Verse 1 to 6 talks of three empires past. 7 to 10 speaks of our interest in the Empire of Rome. Verses 13 to 14 speaks of Jesus Christ, our Lord. 15 to 18 is the grand finale, how things will all end when the saints of God possess the kingdom forever and ever. That is the prospect for you and me. Now to Daniel 7, verse 1. One, two, six together, please. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of this. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heaven, great sea. Four great beasts came from the sea, diverse one from another. And the first was like a lion, and had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth, made stand upon the feet. And behold, another beast, a second like a beast. And it had three ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it. And they said unto it, Arise, devour much flesh. After this I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl, and beasts had also four heads. And dominion was given to it. Amen. Up to here, take a pause. You must have been brought through a kind of a whirlwind tour of prophecy, of strange animals. But this is prophetic language. Now we're going to read of the final power on earth, whose reign we are living through now on earth. You may not realize it. Let's read verses 7 to 10. 7 to 10 together. After this, I saw in the night visions, behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces, and strapped from all the beasts that were before it, it had 10 horns. Behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. Beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit. Verse 10. A fiery stream issued from, came forth from before him. Thousand thousands did minister unto him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were open. Amen. Up to here. Here we consider the end time world power and the rise of a little horn, which we will speak in some more detail later on. At the moment, it is still in very strange prophetic apocalyptic language, which is very strange. Now, let's see what's going to happen. Verses 13 to 14, together. I saw in the night visions, behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Amen. Here we have a description of the final state of affairs, which is yet future, to which you and I are entitled to have a share. Amazing. You may not know it. You may think it is so amazing, so surprising, but it is what God's Word says. Now we're going to read the grand finale, how things will end. Verses 15 to 18 together. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. And I came near unto one of them, stood by, and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me, and made me know the interpretation of the things. These three great beasts shall rise out of the earth, but the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom, possess the kingdom forever and ever. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron, nails of brass, which devoured, break in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet, and of the ten horns that were in his head, and of the order, even of that horn that had eyes, and the mouth that spoke great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. Amen. Up into here. All right. You will be as puzzled as I was. But I have been greatly blessed, and I would like to share with you some of that blessing of knowing what's coming ahead of us. I'm sorry, I'm old-fashioned. Yeah, as they say, old dogs don't learn new tricks. So I'm still in this cave age OHPs. So here, bear a little with me. All right. The first word I want to share with you is the word futurology. We are now going to have a little class in futurology. I must say that in the preparation of this message tonight, I have been much enlightened, blessed, and challenged. I hope to share with you some of that blessing. And if there is anyone who has never given his life to the Lord and received Him as Savior, tonight is your opportunity. Futurology is the science of future things. The problem is, outside of the Bible, all predictions are prone to error. The only book, the only prophecy and prophetic utterance that does not go astray is in this book. Why? You're going to see the reason. But this is amazing. When you've listen to what I have to say to you, you say, thank God, I have the Bible. We call futurology prophecy. When it comes from God, it is what God says to us. And what God says to us is absolutely trustworthy and true. This is what God's word says of itself. God's word says, this is what God says himself. I am God, declaring the end from the beginning, from ancient times the things that are not yet done. I have spoken, I will also bring to pass. Amazing. Can anyone say this? Some 30 years ago, there was a Mr. Woodcock, and he stayed in Goodwood Hotel. Good hotel with a so-called futurologist. And he had the big advertisement, come and know your future, I will tell you, and you pay me $25. I was surprised, because before he began even, he died. He didn't know his own fortune. How sad. I'm so sorry. All right. These three verses, 9, 10, 11, come from Isaiah chapter 46. The sources are given to you. In case you think I'm concocting all this, but this is from Isaiah 46 verses 9 to 11. Now I want to allay some of your fears, maybe the fears that I had. When I read all this, I say, what's all this talking of beasts? I know beasts are in the wild jungle areas, we see beasts. But this is apocalyptic language. To help you understand what we are talking about, you say, but he is an educated, cultured person, yes. But when he signs on the dotted line and gives the okay, go ahead, countries miles and thousands of miles away would be bombed to bits and become nothing. Do you know this? So you would say, but he's Obama, or he's Bush, or he's Roosevelt. He's so harmless. How can he be a beast? You don't know. This is prophetic language. So what is a beast? A beast, I have tried to define it for you, is a human leader. Very human, but very brutal. No, the man who signs the line to give the order for bombing to begin and the war to go to people who are far away, such as Vietnam. Do you know? Do you know that after the Second World War, America took into his head to subdue the Viet Cong in Vietnam, and they lost the war because eventually they failed to uproot the Viet Cong, who were too smart for the Americans. But you know, the number of bombs they dropped in Vietnam was more than all the bombs used in the Second World War on Europe. Did you know this? Now I got this information, reliable source. So you see, it may be a cultured, educated, apparently very gentlemanly kind of person, but once he signs, it is brutal, uncaring. I couldn't care less. My brains will go there and drop the bombs where I think the Viet Cong are, or where the North Koreans are. You know why the North Koreans are threatening America? This is called rattling the sword. Saber rattling. To stir things up a bit. Not because they can attack, but they are so angry with America for not bowing to them and giving them rights and privileges. You know that America holds the key to trade and industry and finance around the world. Do you know that? You don't know. All right. So when you say, that fellow is a beast, yes, he's totalitarian. Totalitarian. I don't have to worry about how you're going to suffer. I don't bother about how my bombs are going to hit your country. Totalitarian. I do what I think should be done. Now, in the reading, we read about four beasts. This is the meaning of the four beasts. Beast one is Babylon, two is Medo-Persia, or if you like to say Persia, forget about the Medes, Greece and Rome. These three are past. This one is present and future, coming. All right? Babylon, 600 to 536 BC. Persia, 536 to 330 BC. Then Greece is 330 to 30 BC. Then Rome came in just before Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus was born under the Romans. That's why Joseph and Mary had to go back to Bethlehem to report their birth. Do you know what? That's why. Because the whole of Holy Land fell under the Romans. Our interest is in Daniel's fourth beast. And this is where we focus our attention mostly tonight. Daniel's fourth beast. What is it? It's a fascinating beast. It's the most powerful of the four. As you can see, increasing power from Babylon to Persia to Greece, increasing technology and fighting power as it goes on. Now, my interpretation, and I believe it is the right one, there are those, of course, who differ and they like to go their own way, but in the end they find they are wrong. Why do we say America is Roman? Why? There must be a reason. Do you know the reason? I have done some research and then I can say with confidence. Because 85% of the original settlers who came by the Mayflower and other boats from Europe, they were Europeans. And what was Europe at that time? Part of the Roman Empire, please understand. So that we are very right in pinpointing the beast, the fourth beast, is the Roman Empire extended. Historians would say the Roman Empire finished with the Caesars, no more. I said, dear friends, continues after the Caesars, after the Caesars. So, I hope you see the fourth beast is Roman. All right. Daniel's fourth beast is the brutal world leader, answerable to none. It doesn't consult anyone. Can I start bombing? Can I start punishing this country or that country? No. No. America is number one today. Number one. Do you know that? That's why we all flock to America to study, to do business, to find the best in everything. America has absolute authority. That absolute authority is given to it until who comes? Jesus. Only Jesus is more powerful than America. Do you know? That's why I say you serve the Lord Jesus. Every servant of the Lord Jesus will triumph over the fourth beast. And its mighty power is nothing. One word from the Lord Jesus and everything will crumble. And He is our Lord, the final world authority. Now He is our Savior, Redeemer. Do you know Him? Dear friends, I say, does He know you? More important, do you know Him? Yes, if you know Him, it is because He knows you. I said, if anyone who is doubting, hesitating, maybe you want to have ancestral gods to protect you, besides Jesus, the more the better. No, this is not the game of the more the better. The right one is the best, and you either have it or don't have it. Now, to persuade some of you who wish to know, why am I so confident to say it is American power that is we are talking about? Let me trace for you. America was a savior of England. Who was fighting the First World War? Germany and its allies against Britain and her allies. And the war was going against Britain. The Germans were high and mighty, ready to overrun the whole of Europe until the Savior came along. This is history, please. I'm not concocting. You all are historians better than I. World War II. This one is something I lived through. We were listening to Voice of America radio at night at the risk of being caught and put into Kempeitai, you know. You know what is Kempeitai? The military police who give you a gallon of water, you drink it, then they stamp on your stomach to get the water out. That is Kempeitai. So we listened at night and we were thrilled to hear American B-29 bombers were coming by the Pacific route, island hopping. One of the islands that was taken over to become an American base was Saipan. Do you know this? That's why we have work in Saipan today. Yes, it is an American base, and it went hopping. We were so encouraged to know that all America is waking up to teach this yellow shorty a lesson. Who is the yellow shorty? You know, our Japanese neighbors. But finally, when, do you know that Singapore was under the Japanese for 4 years? Everybody had to study Nippongo. And of course, they say, go, 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 go Nippon, until they went. But how did they go? 1945, one bomb alone, American bomb. Please understand, I have to persuade you to understand. No amount of bombs of other countries and armies and so on and navies can challenge the American atom bomb. One bomb alone, from one of the remote islands, dropped on the island of the city of Hiroshima. Hiroshima means wide island, broad island. One bomb was enough. In 1 minute, now I describe this to you so that you understand what the next world war would be like. 1 minute, one bomb. 100,000 Japanese evaporated, disappeared. That's the kind of warfare. So in 1945, America became the one world power. You don't know, you think. America is such a gentle fellow, isn't he? Oh yes, full of gentlemen as well as non-gentlemen. People who can sign on the dotted line and the aeroplanes will come dropping eggs of atom bomb. So from 1945, the world, the whole globe was ruled by one power. Do you know this? America became the world ruler. No joke about it. Now, not only in military power, money power, you say, how can America have money power? It's bankrupt. Of course it's bankrupt. But when bankrupts are rulers, they become very crooked rulers. You want my greenback, don't you? I print more and more. You just buy my greenbacks and stack them in your home, you're okay. Do you understand this? Paper money. Okay, who is printing paper money? America. Who dictates what kind of film you see? Who dictates? Hollywood. Not Bollywood. Now the Indians begin to follow. Yes, they are imitation only. The real culture comes from Hollywood. Dress style, hairstyle, every style, motor car style, all for education, for technology. Where do you send your son or your daughter? America, Harvard, MIT. You don't send them to Russia or to China, no. America. USA is the undisputed number one. In case someone here may have doubts about American power, you say, unlike Britain, you know, when Great Britain was a world power, it had whole of Canada, almost the whole of South America, South Africa, Canada, and many other colonies around the world. America is smarter than England. It doesn't have anything. But it has got treaties and agreements to put bases all over the world. Do you know this? You just sign, I'm your friend. Well, if I need your place, I'll put my aircraft carriers and my bombers in your bases. America has global military bases, smarter than England anytime. So today, we face a supreme world ruler. Until the Ancient of Days gave to the Son of Man, these two terms are in Bible. Ancient of Days refers to God the Father. But you know, Jesus says, I and my Father are one. What is my Father's is mine, so it is. And the Father gave to the Son of Man, who is the Son of Man. These terms are known to us, are familiar to us, so you ought to know. I don't have to teach you. To the Son, dominion and power and glory, a kingdom and dominion over all people, nations and languages, never to be destroyed. This is in Daniel's prophecy. How did Daniel know? I showed you just now. The Lord who created also spoke of his plan to do this, and what he spoke 3,000 years ago, he will do. He is doing. He has done. Now, what is the final state of affairs? You'd like to know? Please turn to Daniel 7:18. Daniel 7 verse 18 is the final state of affairs on planet Earth. There is still a lot of stuff coming afterwards which are small print. Explanatory notes to tell what is going to happen, but Daniel 7:18 is enough to tell you. We will read together. Alright, you listen to me. Verse 18, the saints of the Most High. Who are the saints of the Most High? Answer is you and me. We who serve the Lord Jesus, we who follow Him and obey His commandment and do His good will, we are the saints of the Most High. We shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever and forever and ever. So make sure that you do not mistake it. It's not for a year, 10 years, 100 years. It says forever, and the word ever is repeated 3 times. Where does it say so? Verse 18, you read it. I read it for you. Maybe we all read it together. But the saints together, but the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom, possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. 3 times ever means forever. God for the word and for the book. Futurology is all in this book. Don't go to any fortune tellers. I hear there are some of our members who make the trip to Batam. They say there's a very good Bomo and he'll tell you the future. I say Bomos will trick you and bluff you. And you go there and spend your time and money for nothing. This book alone tells you what is coming in the future. Know it, love it, and God will bless. Amen. Let us pray. Our God, thank Thee for the revelation of Thy will to tell us ahead of time what is in God's mind and the plan of God for planet Earth. For we on Earth are put here for a purpose as a witness of the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. May His Spirit lead us and bless your people tonight and every day. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We close with a hymn. 221, 221.